pitch to Bowers. Swung on, pulled fair, down the line, game over. Brewers win. They celebrate a walk-off 2-1 victory over the Phils.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. Alongside Hugh Douglas, and there you heard Scott Fransky on the call. Last night from Milwaukee, Phillies lose in walk-off fashion, Hugh. 2-1 to the Brewers. Disappointing night. Phils had chances, couldn't come through. And in the end, Carlos Estevez gives up the game-winning hit. Phils
lose. And it, the most that I remember about that game last night is that it wasn't a whole lot going on until towards the end of the game. It was just like,
Well, it was one of those frustrating games as we get the final countdown now toward the end of the Philly season. And, you know, Alec Boehm hits a home run early. There you go. I like this music playing in the background. But Alec Boehm.
That's felt like some 80s
final
vibe.
Final countdown.
Yeah.
What is the magic number at?
It's 4, right?
Yeah, it didn't move, did it?
No, it's the same. That's the best part. Yeah. I like how you said Kyle. Yeah. It's the all for me.
So the magic number is at 4 right now, but the Phillies could actually clinch in 2 days. I mean, the magic number decreases by 2 now each game they win over the Mets because it's combinations of Phillies wins and Mets losses.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies can clinch. To make it simple, the Phillies win 2 out of 4 this weekend, they clinch the NL East. So that's what we need to do.
So we need to win this one tonight then, right?
Win this one tonight.
Then who's on the mound tonight?
We got Taijuan Walker back in the rotation, Hugh. You got your 99 jersey ready for tonight?
No, but I know some people out there going to wear it because they believe in him.
Who believes
in him? It was one guy, I can't remember his name, but we were at McGurk's, and he came in with a Taijuan Walker jersey on.
Really?
Yes, he did.
That is sad.
He did.
But Taijuan back on the mound tonight. And last night, kind of a frustrating loss because I'm not worried about the division. Like, the Phillies, they're going to win the division. Like, whether it happens this weekend or not, unless they get swept against the Mets, they're going to win the division. What's frustrating about last night, though, they're only 3 games in front of the Brewers. They need to hold on to that 2 seed. I mean, they could have put that away last night, really, with a win.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that that wasn't. Because he got some pretty decent pitching last night, too. So it was one of those things, man. It was like, it was a little disappointing. Ooh. It was also disappointing to see them celebrate at the end like they did.
A few too many strikeouts for the Phils this series.
Too many strikeouts. And I got to say this, as we see Craig Kimbrel DFA'd by the Baltimore Orioles, Carlos Estevez scares me. I look at the Phillies bullpen as you head toward the playoffs, the best version of it, I don't think includes Estevez. Like, he's their 4th best reliever. Why is your 4th best reliever your top option to close games? I don't really understand that. It should be when they can. Kirkering, Strom, Hoffman. Estevez should be the 4th guy out of the pen.
Yeah, you know what's funny about him is that since he's been here, he's been the one guy that you look at and you think to yourself, what would you call it, Kyle? A tightrope walker. A little bit of a tightrope walker. It's like, man, that's not the way you want to go into the playoffs. You want to feel a little bit more comfortable with the guy that you're going to put out there in high-leverage situations.
Right. And I'm not saying he's as bad as Kimbrel, but he gives me Kimbrel vibes a little bit. Like, I feel like if Topper continues to insist, Estevez is my closer, he's the guy that's got to close games, I worry about it. Do you get any Kimbrel vibes, Kyle, from Estevez?
So I think the difference is Kimbrel looked like he was, like, straight-up cooked. Like, he didn't have any stuff left.
Which he was.
I just think this is kind of who Estevez is.
I agree
with that. It's not like he's, like, running on fumes or something. Like, this is just sort of, like, it's almost, like, Alvarado-esque. Like, and I know Alvarado had, like, stretches of dominance. But even when he did, you still sort of had, like, does he have it tonight? Does he not? That's sort of how I view Estevez. Whereas Kimbrel was just, like, they can't trot this dude out there anymore.
What are you doing situation?
Is it crazy to say I still, in a weird way, have more confidence in Alvarado than I do Estevez? Like, I kind of
do. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not agree with that at all.
Yeah, I don't have confidence in Estevez. I'm worried about putting him out there. I don't think he should be the top closing option.
That is funny. That Kyle is like, you're talking about, that's a little different.
With all due respect, Tom, shut up. You sound like an idiot.
No, I'm just saying. It's just with all due respect, that does sound kind of weird.
Yeah,
It's a weird sound.
So be it. 215-592-9494. You want to get on the Phils. Also, the Eagles, are we overreacting to the loss Monday night? And you want to get on the Sixers arena plan, as the mayor announces the arena will be built in Center City. You're welcome to do that as well. Let's go back to the phones. Mad Mike. What's up, Mad Mike?
How we doing today, guys?
How you doing today, Mad Mike?
With all due respect, Howie Roseman's a moron, and so is his puppet head coach. So I'm sorry. Like, there's no way to be respectful about any of this. Like, I mean, the defense is a joke, and you spent $51 million on a bum defensive end because you were spiteful towards Hassan Reddick for not taking your lowball contract offer. And this is you reap what you sow. And you're a terrible drafter, a terrible evaluator of talent, and the defense is suffering for it.
Mike, you're loving this week, aren't you?
I am loving this week. This is basically, let me be honest with you guys. 2022.
Oh, you haven't been being honest all this time? Now you want to be honest?
I know. I've been honest the whole time, but I'm just like, I really want you to hear me. 2022 was a mirage. We over-evaluated Hurts' skill set. We over-evaluated this team, and we let the Nick Sirianni, the whole puppet installation, like we let that go because we didn't play anybody all season long. We got gift wrapped like the easy pass to the Super Bowl, and then we blew it in the Super Bowl.
Well, great, Mike. There you go.
Interesting assessment. I don't agree with that, but I hear you. I hear you.
No. I mean, it bothers me as a guy who says he's a Philadelphia fan that Mike enjoys these kind of weeks when the team loses.
That's what they call a pessimist, right? That's a pessimistic kind of person. Sky's always falling.
That's even more than being a pessimist.
That's just like, it sounds like hater.
Yeah, he's a hater. He's a hater. Okay. I think that's the best way to put it. Mad Mike is,
but he's a fan though. So
I don't know if he is. I mean, he likes to see the teams fail. He likes to see the teams suffer.
That's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. Not at all. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Oh man, you got me following Mad Mike. I mean, this is the guy who starts his day with a cat pissing in his Cheerios.
Ugh.
Come on.
Sounds nasty.
But listen, yeah. Okay, Hugh,
yes.
You're absolutely right. It is the most disrespectful thing that comes out of people's mouth when they say, with all due respect.
So at that point, you already know you're about to be disrespected. So just go ahead and roll
with
it.
But Big V, that doesn't give you the ability to just say whatever you want, right?
Of course it doesn't. But then it does give you the ability, after they say something, to call them a bleach bomb, bad built, butch body.
Yeah, I like what he did. That's a lot. That's a lot right there.
but yes, we have been overreacting. I said it yesterday. All roads to the Super Bowl come through Philadelphia Eagles. Okay? So everybody just get ready. It's just one loss in two games in the season. Get over it. The problem that we have is that we're suffering from too much PTSD. We lost the Super Bowl. We had this ultimate high of having 10 wins and then massive loss. We were all happy. We called it Howie season when we got one of the best running backs in the industry. And, you know, and we lose one game. We don't get blown out. We just lose one game. An interception, time ran out. Yeah, there were a couple of bad calls. But listen, Philly, get over it.
But Big V, I don't want to stop your positivity here. But what have you seen from the defense? What have you seen from the defensive line to make you think this is going to get better?
Well, I've seen the defensive line do three outstanding stops and one hit is still a highlight reel.
That was a safety made that play.
Yeah, it still made the highlight reel.
Yeah, if we wouldn't have lost that game, that would have been a hell of a play. Definitely would have been a hell of a play.
Thanks, Big V. Appreciate it.
And to help Big V out a little bit. Last week, every pundit in the city was singing the praises of Zach Bond and talking about we have a linebacker now. N'Kobe Dean, even though he hasn't played well, and talking about how he became the starter and how he played well enough to take Devin White's job. So it's just, I think we got to pump the brakes just a little bit because, like I've been saying, it's not as good or as bad as it looked yesterday. Well, Monday, it's not that good or that bad. Still a work in progress. We have to do more to help this defense in this infancy. That's what they're in right now.
Well,
they're not playing well.
Yeah, and I think these next 2 weeks are critical, Hugh, because you're going to be with probably without A.J. Brown for the next two games here.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute.
You're going to need to find a way to win these games. You're going to need to find a way to generate explosive plays, which they really couldn't do with consistency the other night. And I know you think defense is a luxury, but Hugh, without A.J., defense needs to play better.
They need to play decent. They're not the 85 Bears, y'all. Let's just get that out your head. They need to play more sound against the run because every week, since you've seen it for the last couple of weeks, teams are running the ball on them.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be able to fix the pass rush until you fix the run game.
Right.
That's a fact. Because if I'm playing against the Eagles going into this game this weekend, I'm still running the ball. I'm passing the ball just to keep you honest, but I'm running the ball. You need to be more definitive in your pass rush lanes, and you need to understand that, you know, if you're playing better against the run, when they drop back to throw the ball, you're going to be in a position to make some plays. You just got to be smarter about it, man. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that if that back's line up over there, just as an example, if I'm the defensive end, and if I have a back that's shading the tackle, that's probably going to be a chip block. So in order to help me from getting my shoulder blown off, like rush.
Nolan Smith.
Yes. Rush with my hands, rush into the tackle. Try to take some of that blow. You're going to get chipped because if he's a good chip block, you're going to get chipped. Make sure you maintain your balance, man, and keep your hands, use your hands to keep them off your body. And be able to get off that block.
Yeah.
Like, if you're attempting to get off a block, if you're trying to get off a block, they're going to call that.
Right.
It's going to be called holding. Nobody that I saw was attempting to get off a block.
The defense has got to play better. The defensive line has got to be a lot better stopping the run. No question about it. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, we'll get right back to the phones after a quick break. If we overreacted the Eagles' loss, we'll also play some audio from Devin White. He was a healthy scratch Monday night. How he handled that and how it differs from how other Eagles seem to be handling this benching as well. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP. What's this for, Kyle? Hassan Reddick?
The season's over.
Is
that what it is? It's over with already?
This is more your tone, Tom.
Well, yeah,
I'm trying to be balanced.
I'm saying I'm
fair
worried.
And balanced.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad about the loss. I'm not saying the season's over yet.
I think a lot of people are.
I mean, ask me after the next two games. I mean, if they fall to 1-3, 1-3, is Nick Sirianni safe at 1-3, guys? What do we think?
If you're asking me, I would say yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Kyle?
Is he safe?
Yeah, like if, say the next 2 weeks look really bad.
Like if they get blown out 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, like, the Eagles don't really have a history of firing coaches this early into a season, no matter what, like no matter how bad it looks.
Ever. The only time Jeffrey Lurie ever fired a coach in season was Chip.
And there was one week left.
Right.
So I don't know, but you know this city will be calling for it. Now, let me ask you this, DK.
What?
What if they go out there and they kick the Saints' ass?
That would be awesome. And then we'll be
everything
happy.
Will be right with the world.
Exactly.
I like how you did that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well done, Kyle. Yeah, if they beat the Saints and are 2-1, we'll be feeling great. Can I say I'm exceedingly confident, considering there's no A.J. Brown and this defensive line is this defensive line? I cannot. But hopefully I'm wrong about that. And hopefully the Eagles win the game on Sunday coming up. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes here, we will get to Devin White, some things he had to say. One of the Eagles' big offseason moves, who so far is yet to take the field for the Birds. Seemed to be a healthy scratch the other night. We'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Jameel in Frankfurt. What's up, Jameel? Yo, Jameel. Let's put Jameel on hold. Let's go to Josh in North Jersey. What's up, Josh?
Man, you got me?
Got you.
How are you guys? Always a pleasure. So So I'm going to say this. Eagles fans overreacting. Obviously. Goes together like peanut butter and jelly, if I'm being honest. It's just so crazy how this fan base takes a loss like this. It's week two, guys. So I want to be optimistic. I think going forward, let's be honest, I don't want to talk about the past, what happened with Atlanta stock. Going forward, this offensive line looks to be a realistically good offensive line, guys. I think Mekhi Becton, the experiment, is working. I think he's playing at a high level at right guard. I think Landon Dickerson, everyone talks about Howie drafting. Yo, he hit on Landon Dickerson. He is a stud. And I think Cam has really turned into a good center. I think the year sitting in the wings and then playing right guard, he looks like he could play at a high level too. So with that being said, I think Saquon coming in, I think there's going to be an opportunity these next couple weeks. I think they're going to sit in 12 personnel. They're going to try to get the tight ends involved more. They're going to run the ball, I think, against New Orleans, keep their offense off of the field. I want to talk defensively. So I'm sorry for going on a tangent, man. Please stop me. But defensively, I want to say this. Yes, the pass rush these past two games have been poor, okay? I think Howie's put together this team, right? I think it's up to the coaching staff to get out of what the talent you have the most that you possibly can. Some dudes are better at setting the edge than others, let's be honest. I think Bryce Huff, I'm going to say this as like a realistic like ball fan with my Green Eagle goggles on, he needs to be just specifically exclusive pass rushing. I think right now his game, setting the edge, I think, Hugh, you're right. That's how you stop the outside zone, man. You get penetration on the CD gap. Make the running back cut back inside where your help is. I think also Avante Maddox, everybody's cooking this guy. I think week one, that touchdown he led up against Watson, you know how many times Love and Watson ran that rep against training camp? Maddox has not been playing as poorly as everyone's been painting him to be. I want to say that. I think this defense needs to bow their neck in the red zone like they've been, and they need to be opportunistic going forward and trying to create turnovers. And again, that is a coaching decision. I'm surprised.
Well, Josh, it's not a coaching thing to get turnovers. I mean, you're not going to get turnovers unless you get pressure on the quarterback.
Tom, can I say this? I'm surprised Vic stayed as in his shell as long as he did. In week one against Green Bay, we stemmed our five-man front. I love that look. I think getting Milton Williams on the field more is appropriate. I think he's very violent with his hands. I think Milton Williams needs to play more, specifically against the run. I think Jalen Carter, I want the Eagles to like literally send to the NFL every single goddamn holding penalty this guy has not been getting called.
Well, Josh.
Well, I want one. I want one, Tom. One.
I hear you, Josh, and appreciate the call, man. I don't know. That sounds like loser talk right there. I mean, we're going to complain about Jalen Carter getting held? They got to find a way to play through it.
Yeah, they got to. Like I was always told that if you're being held, it's your fault. My coach used to say that all the time. And Jalen Carter is a much bigger defensive lineman than I ever was. And that was one thing that I never, ever, ever complained about. Like, I would go to the refs and say, hey, you know, it's a good chance I might be being held. But to go in there and say, oh, man, I'm being held. Nah. Jalen Carter has shown on numerous occasions in the NFL and in college that he's a grown-ass man. I remember a friend of mine, Rusty Manziel, who does college scouting down there. He knows all the like ins and outs, intricacies of SEC football in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He used to talk to me about how Jalen Carter could wake up and beat every lineman that they had at Georgia. He was that good. He's that good. He got drafted for a reason, to where he got drafted. You know, I know he fell in the draft and everything. He can play. He needs to get that want to, man. One thing that I was told by Travis Link, he was a GM for the Atlanta Hawks, is that you got to find out what a kid's want to is. Mm-hmm. And then you take it from there. Jalen Carter has to have that want to, man. You know, a lot of times kids, guys get that money and they get complacent. I think that there probably is some complacency there, you know, because the skill is there. I think the skill is there for all these guys. I think they're just a little complacent.
Well, when you look at Jalen Carter so far, Hugh, is that what you've seen? Like, watching him play this so far this season, has it been an effort issue? Is he getting doubled? What's going on there?
I look at a lot of these guys, man, and I look at this defensive line. It's like, you got to get off the blocks. You got to play with violent hands. They're not doing that. It's almost like, oh, I'm blocked. This is nice. Let me see where they're going to take me on this play. Like I said, they're playing with steering wheels in their back. Playing defense, especially in the front, is an attitude. I remember going into the games, and I would be like, you know, this guy might be bigger than me, but I'm going to whoop this big dude's butt. I'm going to whoop his behind because that's – I reveled in that. I like the fact that I was considered one of the smaller defensive ends, but I was called at that time, it was a try-hard, effort guy. Oh, that's cool. I'll be an effort guy, but I'm an effortly – I'm going to effortlessly whoop your ass on every play that I'm out there.
With all due respect.
Don't cut that out. Don't cut that off, Kyle. But you know what I was trying to say? I got excited.
Or hoobaloobaloo, yeah. Hoobaloobaloo, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where I used to go into games and say if I was playing against an Orlando Pace, I wanted that matchup. I wanted to beat that cat. If I'm playing against Jonathan Ogden, I'm trying to beat that cat because he's considered the best, and I consider myself the best. So, you know, I want to see where I'm at. I want to see what my game is compared to your game.
They need some more of that dog.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I want to see where I'm at. I came from a small school, and, you know, I'm playing against all these dudes that went to big schools and had these big names and whatever. I want to see where I'm at compared to you.
There you go. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, and that's what I see. I see a lot of what does not happen on Sunday as effort, in my humble opinion.
You know,
with all due respect.
And this defensive line needs to play with more of that.
You know that when he was drafted, the Jets fans didn't, they had no idea who he was.
Oh,
they,
really?
They weren't really happy about this. I think I have the audio right here.
With the 16th choice in the first round, the New York Jets select defensive end from Central State of Ohio, Hugh Douglas.
Well, let me tell you, they don't
next
know who
choice
he is.
Will be made by the New York Giants.
No. I remember.
They don't know who he is.
You know what I remember about this, TK?
Who was that?
It was one. It was one. Like, it was like a bunch of Jets fans.
Boomer did you dirty there.
And they were like, when they drafted me, everybody was like, who the hell? And one dude was like, no, he can play. Trust me. He can. Like, one dude was like trying to convince the rest of the fan. Like, no, he's okay. He's okay.
They don't know who he is.
Oh, man, it was funny. That did not bother me. But I did have, I remember going to camp and having a little man complex, and that's kind of how I played. It's one of those things, man. Like I said, yesterday gave a whole bunch of examples of guys that played in the NFL at a high level that weren't the biggest guys. Cameron Wake,
right?
Robert Mathis, and I forgot the third guy that I had, but it's a few of them. And when you look at them, Kyle Vandenbosch wasn't a – like, when you think of defensive ends, you think of 260. Everybody would say he's too little. I never subscribed to that. Vic Beasley was a guy that played in Atlanta, was a ninth pick in the draft. I forgot what year you got drafted.
Clemson, right?
Clemson guy.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't pan out. Vic Beasley was like 245 pounds. He had a 15-sack season. So you can't tell me that it can't be done if you put forth the effort. You got to put forth the effort, man. You got to have that dog in. You got to go out there. Like, if I'm Bryce Huff, I'm tired of being talked about like I can't play. Hell, he's proven that he can play. He did it somewhere else. Why can't you do it here?
Need that dog in him. Come on, Bryce. Now it's time for a read on our Twitter question of the day, at WIP Midday Show. Have we overreacted to the Eagles' loss to Atlanta? 65% of the audience saying no. The Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. So 65% say no. Now, we talk about the defensive line. Them needing to stop the run better. Need to keep them off the linebackers. And one of those linebackers so far has not been Devin White. Missed the first game with the ankle injury. Then on Monday night, appeared to be a healthy scratch, but is handling it pretty well here. Here was Devin White, what he had to say yesterday after practice.
Makes that personality come out and allows you to handle this the way you're handling it.
I don't know. I think I've been through a lot in my life, good and bad, you know, open, public, private, and it just make you grow up, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything not gonna always be in your favor, you know, but it's about how you respond, you know, how you handle yourself, but that's the only thing I can control. You know, I can't put myself in the game, but I can control my attitude, my effort in practice, and, you know, just my swagger in the building still, you know, coming here every day like a pro and handling my business, rather, you know, I feel like I got a son, he can cry when he don't get his way, you know, that's for him to do, not me. You know, I got to set the example.
That's a mature way to look at it. You know, he'll let his two-year-old at home cry about when he doesn't get his way. But Devin White, you got to respect that, Hugh, right?
Yeah. I mean, because there's nothing you could control. I mean, I think at this point, he's been a healthy scratch 2 weeks in a row. You just have to deal with it and go out there at practice and try to be ready if the moment presents itself. you know, you're playing against, or you're playing behind a guy who, with all due respect, has been hurt over the last couple of seasons and has not finished, has not played a full season. So you have that going for you. So just wait, because there might be an opportunity that presents itself later in the season.
Yep, and that's what you like to see from a player who you know, does get the playing time he expected coming in. Now, another player for the Eagles isn't necessarily handling things the same way, and that's Isaiah Rodgers. Kyle, what did Isaiah Rodgers have to say in his post?
So it was on his Instagram. I'm not sure if it's still up or not. I haven't checked lately. But it was just a picture of him sitting on the bench on the Eagles sideline, and the caption was, "Control what you can control." So, okay. Doesn't really seem to be too happy about.
No, it seems a little passive aggressive.
Well, that to me that feels like it's more of him just trying to be ready,
trying to keep his head up.
Yeah, just trying to keep his head up. Mm-hmm. Hey, a lot of times, man, I get caught up in like being upset about things I have no control over. So you know, just control what you can control.
So that's not something you look at and think it's a bad sign.
I don't think so. I mean, I can understand people that read it that way. We all read things differently. I don't read that as him being a malcontent.
Right.
You just got to be ready, man. Anytime that you're in a position where you're not the starter or things don't work out the way that you want them to, you just have to be prepared. So just in case they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's go back to the phones. Go to Jameel in Frankfurt. What's up, Jameel? Jameel.
Come on, Jameel. It's second time, dude.
Killing us. Second time. Joe in Bucks County. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I need you guys to talk me off the ledge. Let me know why we're not going to be out of the playoffs by midseason. And I'm going to give you guys my reason why I feel it.
Well, Joe, I don't think by midseason. I think this team, I mean, they got an easy schedule at the end of the year. I just think, you know, when you look at this defense, that's the thing that concerns me most. You lose the game, that's one thing, but the defensive line, I just don't know how the issues get better.
Well, I'm going to go to the offensive side, and I think that's a big issue, too, that we're overlooking. We had issues last year where Sirianni couldn't pull together, and we had some adversity right now with Brown being out, and what happened? We hit adversity, and we blew the game. We had absolutely zero planning on how to handle the 15 passes that go to Brown. What did we do? We gave him the Covey. They should have had a plan on how they were going to, one, overcome that. Number two, Sirianni needs to know that if you don't have your number one receiver, you take points whenever you can. It's not a regular game like over the last 5 years. He's making decisions like he did in the past, and I think it's going to cost us.
Well, Joe, I get what you're saying, and I would have kicked the field goal early in that game too, but yeah. I mean, but I don't think it's just a rule where you got to take the points early in games every time. Like the Eagles won a Super Bowl largely because they didn't take the points.
But let me ask you though, the situation: you don't have your number one receiver. Do you not take points whenever you can get them, knowing it's probably going to be points at a premium?
I think that's a fair argument, but I do think Spikes made a good argument the last couple of days with this as well. The Eagles largely won that game last week against the Packers because the Packers had to settle for field goals early on in that game.
But they had their players, too. We didn't. So you got to get – that's an element that we keep forgetting, that Brown wasn't there. Oh, the last point I want to make real fast. Hey, guys, when you look at the first two series, and I went back and looked at them, there was, like, no scheming, no planning. What were the 15, 20 plays, the first ones when you come to the game, are they going to run?
The first 15?
Absolutely.
You're talking about the first 15, like
the first 15. Yeah, you get it. It was like all over the place. There was no rhyme or reason how they were going to handle AJ not being there.
Well,
it concerns me. In the long term, it concerns me.
I hear you, Joe. Appreciate the call. Well, Hugh, I didn't see the same issues. Like the first drive wasn't good last week, but the second drive, that was the one where they basically ran Saquon up and down the field on.
Yeah, well, he was talking about the first 15 where, you know,
right.
I'm assuming he means that you didn't get Saquon involved in that at all. They were trying to pass the ball. They were trying to establish something. It's hard to say because I came from an era where, you know, most teams did that. They just have plays out there, dink and dunk plays, just to get the quarterback comfortable. And it looked to me that's what they were trying to do. So I'm not that much upset about that. I think you probably could have gave the ball to Saquon a little bit more, but outside of that, no, I wasn't that upset about that.
Yeah, and overall, I thought the offense moved the ball well in that game.
Yeah.
You just got to come away with more points.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, especially knowing what you know about your defense and that they're challenged right now. Mm-hmm. their run challenge and their pass rush challenge right now. So, yeah, you got to do a little bit better.
You got to find a way to do something well on the defensive side of the ball. Final segment coming up. We'll finish up with as many calls as we can. Also, Vic Fangio just spoke to the media. He was asked about Bryce Huff and if he'll continue to be the starter. Vic's answer to that coming up next. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WY.